Let us pray. Our Father, how good and how gracious and how merciful Thou art unto us. The way Thou hast blessed us this Lord's Day. And our Father, how, as we've meditated, we've just not had a dry Sunday in so long. Every Lord's Day has been Thy day. You have blessed us with Your presence. You've walked in our midst. You've dealt with our hearts. How good Thou hast been to us in answering prayer and delivering our souls and sending the people here. We just give Thee praise and thanks tonight for all that Thou art and all that Thou hast done. For truly we are a blessed people to have Thee as our God, to be able to call Thee Father, and to have the Lord Jesus Christ as our elder brother, our high priest, our Savior, our surety within the veil. And what could be more blessed than to have the Holy Spirit, Thy blessed Spirit, indwelling us and taking the things of Christ and revealing them unto our hearts. Oh, we praise You for this, and we pray that You will constantly stir up our hearts in remembrance of Thee, in remembrance of the things that Thou hast wrought. And may we never be get beyond praising Thee, and be like that one Samaritan man out of 10 whom You healed, who come back to worship Thee and give Thee praise. And may we constantly be reminded of this, and fall at Thy feet, giving Thee thanks and giving Thee glory. Thank You for each soul that You have sent this way today. And we do pray Thy blessings and mercies upon us even at this evening hour, and that Thy word which Thou hast given us may find a lodging place in our hearts. Bless these who have come from afar. We thank You for sending them in our midst, and we pray that Thou wilt bless them and lead them and guide them as they go their way, refreshed. And may You be honored and glorified in their lives as they walk with Thee. Help us and lead us as we go on from day to day, facing each crisis and each battle. And as we fight the good fight of faith, may our eyes be constantly upon Thee, and the end of it all, waiting for the end of that promise. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Let's again this evening go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13, 14, 15, and 16. We'll have our attention tonight. We've moved along this far in our study of this chapter. And it's more or less of a summary of what has already gone before. As the apostle moving out of that 11th chapter, that 10th chapter of Hebrews at least, encouraging the people to go on and to persevere to the end, waiting upon the Lord, remembering that they had been ordained to live by faith and not by sight. He had told them in the first verses of chapter 11 exactly what faith was. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then he began to tell us about how the old patriots had lived, how they were saved, how they had lived and how they had died in faith with their eyes upon the living God. Then we spent quite a few Sunday nights on verse 8 showing the faith of Abraham and how Abraham was saved and that he was a pattern for all of those who would follow after him, for each and every one of God's people from Abel to the last man shall be saved by faith and faith alone, in the Lord Jesus Christ, justified before God. And then I don't know about you, but my heart was greatly blessed last Lord's Day evening with the story of Sarah and how God had given her faith and strength to conceive seed when she was delivered of a child when she was past age. Why? Because she had judged him faithful who had promised. And then we have a summary in verses 13 through 16 before we move on to the last incident of Abraham's life, which we have already looked at in connection with that 8th verse. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. It amazes me how our pre-tribulationists and our premillennialists and our dispensationalist friends miss altogether verses 13, 14, 15, and 16 of Hebrews 11. That these patriots' hope was not a hope of real estate upon this earth. It was not a hope of ruling and reigning with Christ 1,000 years from some real estate in the Near East. That was not their hope at all. Their hope was that they looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And they confessed that they were pilgrims and strangers upon this earth, and that they looked for a better country, a heavenly, where God was not ashamed to be called their God, for He had prepared for them a city, a dwelling place. How blessed it is that God has always pointed us to that time when we shall be with Him. For what did He tell His disciples there in John 14? He gave them the same encouraging words. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And where is He here? Where is He? And where is He going to be? Well, He's dwelling in heaven now. And to depart and be with Christ would be far better. When the eternity is ushered in, our Lord Jesus shall be with His people upon this new earth. And this is the country, the heavenly, that they were looking for. They didn't care about any real estate down here, but that real estate upon the new earth, this was their hope to be with God forever. I pray God will give you a little bit of what He's given me out of these verses, and our hearts will be open tonight to receive the Word of God, and we'll go away from this place strangely moved, as never before, to live by faith, and to walk by faith, and to trust the living God, really acting as pilgrims and strangers upon this earth as we walk through this world, waiting for the coming of the Lord. Now, it says there in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them. So tonight, let's look at the receiving the end of our faith as they did. These people, these patriots, these children of God all died controlled and sustained by faith. Faith was the motivating power and operation of their life. They were sustained by it. They were controlled by it. Right unto the hour or the moment of their death. That's what it says, these all died in faith. That means that they were controlled and sustained by their faith right up to the very hour that they went to meet the Lord. Now this faith of God's elect, this faith that God gives us in the Lord Jesus Christ, is a faith, again, as I said this morning, that is worthy of Him, because it is the faith that is like its divine author. Listen to me now. This faith is a living thing, like our living God. It is an incorruptible thing, like our incorruptible God. It is something that cannot be conquered, like our living God. And since God is forever, then the faith that He gives is forever. I want you to turn to one of the most blessed scriptures in the Word of God. Go to Romans chapter 11 with me. And I want you to look at verse 29. Romans chapter 11, verse 29. And I want you to mark it in your Bible. And I do want you to pray that God would write with the pen of the Holy Spirit upon your heart tonight these words. And you and I will never get away from it. Look at what it says. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Now what does that mean? Let me read it to you in the Amplified. Listen. God's gifts and God's call are irrevocable. I said, God's gifts and God's call are irrevocable. He never withdraws them once they are given to us. He does not change His mind about those to whom He has given them. And He does not change His mind about that grace to whom He sends the call to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I sat before this one, and my heart was made to praise Him and thank Him. Do you understand what He's saying? He is saying that if God ever gives us the gift of faith, He never takes it away. If He gives us the gift of faith, we can never lose it. If He gives us the gift of faith, there will never be a time when we will be without it. For the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. He never changes His mind about those to whom He gives His grace. Come on now, think with me. I want you to get this. Brothers and sisters, this is ground for faith to rest upon. You see, the God of the Bible is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? That's grounds on which faith can operate. A foundation on which faith can stand. The gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. He doesn't lie about them. He can't take them away. He doesn't take them away. He doesn't ever repent in his mind that he ever gave them to us. For he knew what he was doing when he did. And beloved, we got to come to this. Either God made a mistake when he gave it to us, or he didn't. And in the midst of every trial and every testing, either God made a mistake in bringing us through that testing, or he didn't. And God doesn't make a mistake. Then all things work together for good to them who love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. Now, would you believe I preached nearly an hour this morning, and that never came to my mind to bring to your attention? And I thought about it this afternoon. What a great opportunity I missed. In fact, yesterday when I was studying during the week, I fully intended to bring it out, and I didn't. That the man who can claim that promise is a man who loves God and a man who's been called according to God's purpose. That's the man who can plead that. If God has called us according to his purpose, and if he's put a love within our hearts for him, and he has given us that faith to lay hold of him, he is never going to bring us into a situation where that faith will ever fail us. He will always hold us to the end. You know why? It's the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ himself who dwells within. Well, you say, Pastor, how come sometimes it's so weak and sometimes it doesn't seem like I have a bit of it? But that doesn't mean it's gone. And it doesn't mean that God's gone off and left you. These individuals, and I want you to watch the wording of it, these people were controlled and constrained by faith. Now I ask a question. How were they controlled and constrained or sustained by faith? Well, let's put the question another way. How are you controlled and sustained by faith? For if you're a child of God, this is the way you will walk. For the just shall live by faith. Whereas Romans 1:17 tells us we go from faith to faith. All the time we're going on. From faith to faith. I told Brother Herm this afternoon, I said, you see what we go through here? I said, this is usually a constant stream. For I have actually seen the time when we've gone for weeks on end, that as soon as somebody moved out, my wife had to make up the beds for somebody else to move in. That's facts. And one day it got very close. One individual didn't leave till 12, and the other was expecting in here at 3. And I said, you know, you people will go. I trust you'll go with a blessing. And I know they will. But I said, we will only face another crisis next week. Somebody else God will send in among our own group. And from those he's across the nation he lets us minister to. He just sends them here and attracts them here, doesn't he? And everybody seems to come with problems and cares. And we're here to help, aren't we? Pray with them, counsel with them, and like he told you before he sang. I told him, I said, I'll give you a key to the house. It's yours. Use it as you will. Come and go as you please. Go see anybody in our congregation you want to go see. Because if you go there to talk about me, then they're going to listen to you. If you go there and talk about the Lord, they'll listen to you all day long. And this is the way I want it. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that we'll have crisis next week.
and the week after, and the week after, and the week after. Why? Because the just shall live by faith. We go from one to another. On and on we go. And I got a deep-seated feeling in my own soul that God ain't going to let me live no other way till He lets me die. You know that? But from faith to faith. How are you controlled and sustained by faith? Well, let's break these verses of Scripture down into seven parts because they logically do that tonight. And let's see what is in store for us in these things. All right? The first expression we desire to look at is they died in faith. Second, they had not yet received the end of the promises. Third, but they saw them afar off. Fourth, they were persuaded of them. Fifth, they embraced them. Sixth, they confessed that they were pilgrims and strangers on the earth. Seventh, they who say such things, that they have been persuaded of the promises, that they have embraced the promises, that they have confessed that they are strangers and pilgrims on the earth, plainly declare by word and by life that they seek a country which is not down here, it's above. For God is not ashamed to be called their God. For He went to prepare for them a city. All right, let's look at each one of them briefly and see what they hold in store for us tonight then, will you? First of all, they died in faith. Now, if a man is to die in faith, he must live in faith. And saying a few magic words when the coffin comes down here. And saying a few magic words over that body doesn't get the job done. Because if they didn't live by faith, then they didn't die in faith. And it's just as simple as that. Did you know that? It's just as simple as that. And if they lived in faith, then they were controlled and sustained by this faith to walk in a way of righteousness and true holiness. Because a man who is living by faith plainly declares, are you listening? Plainly declares that they are not living for this world, but they are living for the next. Their life shows it. Their speech shows it. Their friends, whom they associate with, they show it in this way. Their whole phase of their life shows that they are living by faith. So to die in faith, we must live by faith. Now, what does faith have to live on? If we're going to be sustained by faith and controlled by faith and live by faith, then what is faith going to live on? For you see, we don't reach under the table and bring out faith. We don't grab it from up underneath the bed someplace. We don't just bring it down out the sky. Faith has to have something to rest upon to be operative. And the Word of God says that faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Therefore, our understanding has to come into play, doesn't it? Our understanding has got to be enlightened. Now, what do we want our understanding to be enlightened on and about? The Saturday Evening Post? Reader's Digest? Mechanics Magazine? The latest soap opera on TV? The sports page of the newspaper? Is that what we want is the foundation of our faith? You know better than that. What is the foundation of our faith? What is our understanding? What is our mind to diligently seek after and search after and be filled with?
You're answering it in your heart, aren't you? Are you saying it in your heart? It's the eternal Word of God, as the psalmist said, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee." All right? Faith has to have the Word of God to rest upon. Therefore, it has to have understanding of God's ways and God's will and God's promises and God's commandments, doesn't it? Is not this the reason the psalmist said, "Teach me thy way, lead me in thy way, show me thy paths"? Is not this the reason the believer cries, "Thy will"? What is it? And why do we search the Word of God? Diligently seeking out God's Word, it is as the understanding might have a knowledge of divine things, that we might be instructed in the path of duty which God wants us to walk in day by day. And this must be our daily prayer. Order my steps in Thy Word, O Lord, that I'll walk according to Thy precepts and Thy commandments. We had a man with us the other week, and when finally I got a time to talk to him, and he let me talk to him, I said, "You know, there's one thing I've noticed in dealing with you in over a year, and it is this. You have never told me in all of your experiences, in all your coming and going, you have never told me that your life was ordered by one biblical principle. You always went by feelings." And beloved, when we do the first thing pops into our mind, we're in a fix. Did you know that? We're in a fix. There's biblical principles and biblical knowledge that we must have. There's that hiding of the Word of God away in our hearts. Now, let's go to one scripture to show you this. Philippians 4, verse 8. And see what the scripture says there. Philippians 4, verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue," that is, any excellency, anything that is that is knowledgeable of God, that is lofty, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, if God would judge every one of us in the house tonight by this verse, how would we stack up? He said, "That's what I don't like about you, Pastor. You're always asking me questions. I'll have to make you think." I've always found if you ask a man a question, it'll make him think. Because you've got to do something with it. You've got to give an answer to it. You can't play neutral. That's facts. You can't play neutral. You have no neutral gears in your brain. You see what he says here? Whatsoever things are true. Now, where are we going to find out the things that are true? Whatsoever things are honest. And where are we going to find the things that are honest? Whatsoever things are just, and where are we going to find those things that are righteous or justifiable in before God? Whatsoever things are pure. Oh, beloved, where are we going to find the things that are pure? Whatsoever things are lovely, where are we going to find these things? Whatsoever things are of good report, or of lofty virtue, lofty excellency. Where are we going to find those things that are praiseworthy, that we might think upon them? Are you thinking with me? Where do you go to find these things? The understanding has to be in the Word of God.
What knowledge do we have? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Look at one of the apostles' prayers in Ephesians chapter 1. He says in verse 16, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may do what to you? May give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in what? In the knowledge of God Himself. Now how are we going to get that knowledge? That the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. I'm paraphrasing it. How are we going to get that knowledge? It is as the eyes of our understanding are enlightened. It is as we read and meditate upon the Word of God that we come to know something. And what did He want us to know? That the eyes of our understanding should be enlightened. That we may know what is the hope of our calling in the Lord Jesus Christ. We might know what are the riches of the glory of God's inheritance in us. And beloved, God has an inheritance in us by virtue of His blood shedding. We're His heirs. He bought us with the price of His own precious blood. He wants us to know of this price and what it cost Him. We may love Him more. And where do we find that knowledge? And not only that, but He also wants us to know what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe according to the working of His mighty power. He wants us to experience day by day that power working in our life. And how does this come? It is as we are controlled by faith and sustained by faith. And as I said, this faith comes with the eyes of our understanding being open of the things that are written for our learning and are made for our peace. Many a time I go back to my room and I cry, Lord, did I preach too fast for them? Did I give out too much truth? Did I just throw it out there and in hunks of meat? Did I break it down where they could understand it? I went home today crying, and I did. While y'all were waiting for dinner, I was off in my study, laying back there, relaxing, and I was crying, Lord, those first 15 minutes this morning, did I just throw out truth? Could they grasp it? Could they lay hold of it? For I want you to understand what we're saying. That little maid look up at him and says, you can't fool me, buddy. Your speech betrays you. And the speech of the believer betrays. He can't help it. He speaks a different language altogether than the world speaks. And then how is a man a pilgrim? Well, he uses the world, but he doesn't abuse it. He seeks to discharge his responsibility as God's child day by day to the world and to his fellow believer. He is moderate and temperate in all things as he walks through this life. He's a pilgrim. He lays aside every weight that does so easily beset him. And he's daily reminded of the brevity and the uncertainty of life as he walks in this life. For he knows that he's going to give an account unto God, and he knows not when. So he desires to walk in a way so that when God comes or God calls him, he may be able to be ushered into His presence with exceeding great and eternal glory, as Peter tells us. Don't you like these verses? Aren't they precious to you? Don't you think we ought to meditate upon them this week? Don't you think we ought to take them and dissect them and go over them and ask God to write up on our hearts? Are we walking this way? Is this the way we're living? Are we sustained and controlled by faith? Then, beloved, if you're here tonight and you don't have this faith, then how can you live by faith? And the only way you can please God is by faith. And if I were you tonight, I would ask God to give you that faith, to seek Him with your whole heart, that you might find Him, and that He might give unto you that which only He can give.
And that's that saving faith to lay hold of Him and to trust Him. And even to interfere in your life. You heard us this morning, didn't you? Did you go home and ask God to interfere in your life? You ought to. You should. Don't leave me, Lord, to myself. That was my cry this afternoon. Don't leave me to myself. Don't leave me to my sins. Don't leave me to my way. Let not my last end be like that one. I want to walk in a way that is pleasing unto Him. Lord, hold me. Lord, keep me. May my life be controlled and sustained by this faith that has Christ for its object and the Word of God for its foundation day by day.